as many people start preparing for Yimei Adin, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Some wait for Yimei Slichus. And this year it's a little harder because usually when Slichus begins, you know, in a few days is Rosh Hashanah. And like this year it's very early because Rosh Hashanah's on a Tuesday, so we start a week and a half before, so people will all of a sudden get a shock. It's already Slichus. Rosh Hashanah's on the horizon. So we have to make our achronos, prepare. We all know the Rambam, famous Rambam, says, Shofar is a remez to Uri Yosheinu Mishenaschem. Wake up from your slumber. The Shofar is a wake-up call. But there's two words in that Rambam which hardly get noticed. Hibitu lenafshei seichem, which means analyze yourself, look into yourself. Make this a time for introspection, not to justify our faults. The pasuk tells us by Yoime Kayin El Hevel Ochiv. Kayin said to Hevel. Strangely enough, the pasuk doesn't say what Kayin said to Hevel. The Ibn Ezra explains that the previous pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave Musa to Kayin. So instead of Kayin accepting the rebuke, he took it. It's for him to tell it to Hevel. It's a message he has to repeat to Hevel. He ignored it from himself. The Yalk Ravani says Yoina was a Gilgal of Kayin. And when there was a storm in the boat, Yoina told the sailors in the boat, Ki v'sheli hasar ha-god lazer, this whole storm is because of me. He took responsibility for the storm. It would be very easy for him to look around and you see the people in the boat. Oivdei avodah zarah. He could have blamed them, but he didn't. He accepted blame. And with that, he was mesaken the chet of Kayin, who tried to shift the blame from himself unto Hevel. The story I've mentioned, but it's worth mentioning again. Two friends, Chaim and Moshe, decided to buy 10 lottery tickets together. There was a 100 million lottery prize, because it's the old days when you only got 100 million, not like today. And they'll split the winnings. So they printed out the tickets, and Chaim got the first 5 tickets, Moshe got the next 5 tickets. A few days later, Moshe calls up Chaim and says, "You won't believe it. We won. We're the winners. We're going to share $100 million. Chaim says, "What do you mean, we're the winners?" He said, "I have the winning ticket." He says, "Yeah, you have the winning ticket, but we made an agreement. We're going to split the winnings, whoever wins." He says, "What do you mean, the splitting? You took 5, I took 5. "No, we said, we each take 5 of the tickets, but it's an agreement between us, we share." He said, "That's not a real agreement. What, did we make a Kenyan? That's not an agreement. Halachically, you think, I'm binding to you, it's binding at all? You think in court it's binding at all? It's nothing. It's, you know, yeah, we talk like that, but it's nothing. I don't owe you anything." So Moshe says to him, "Chaim, I thought you were going to say that. I just want to tell you, I have the winning ticket, and I'm not sharing it with you." Moshe starts screaming, "You gun of you lowlife, we made a deal." What a nerve to talk like that. And this is what happens because we don't like to see our own faults. We have the gears. We have biases, our own personal biases, which distort the way we see things. When Eliezer was looking for a shidduch for Yitzchak, and he found Rivka, so he went to speak to Lavan the Pesuel, and he told him the whole story. Avram sent him to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. And he mentioned, he asked Avram, "Ulai lo yisoyva yishalech zacharai. What should I do if the woman doesn't want to come after me?" And Rashi says, "Ulai is written without a vav. Lashnof Eli to me." The Eliezer was hoping the woman wouldn't want to come, and he could marry his daughter off to Yitzchak. And the Mefarshim all ask, many speak about, why is it the word Ulai is written without a vav the second time, when he repeats the story to Lavan and Besuel? It should have been written the first time, when he says to Avram, "Maybe she won't want to come after me." And the Kutzk Rebbe explains that when Eliezer saw the Nisim, he saw how clearly this Shidduch was predestined. Yitzchak and Rivka was meant to be. There's no way it's going to be for his daughter. Now he had clarity. And he realized originally, when he asked that question to Avraham, it wasn't a real question. He was only asking because of Nagias. He was hoping that she wouldn't. That's when he realized it. Before, now, he realized why he said it back then. But at the time, he didn't realize. He thought he was saying it honestly to Avraham. It's only with hindsight, when the Nagias is gone, does he really recognize what had happened. Rosh Hashanah is a time of introspection. And we're experts at seeing the faults of others. But we have to shine the flashlight on our own faults. Rabbi Waxman was once giving a drosha, and he said, "Ma'oid, ma'oid, havish valruach. A person should be exceedingly humble." And the Mishnah continues, "Ki tikvas enosh rimo." And tikvas, translated, is the hope of man is a worm. So you'll tell you the end of man is to be worms in the grave. But the word used is tikvas, the hope of man. Why is this lashon of tikvas used? So he explained with the Chasam Sofer, who says that after 120, a person is going to come before the Kisei Kovod and be asked questions. And they'll ask you, why didn't you start a chesed organization? Why didn't you finish a noshas? Why didn't you write a sefer? And the person will say, me? You're expecting that from me? I'm nothing. I'm a worm. What do you expect from me? And the best will ask you, oh, so you're a worm, you're a nothing. Did you live your life like that? Were you so humble when you were alive? Tikvas enosh, the hope of man, to be able to have excuses for things you didn't accomplish. Your hope is to act like a worm now. Don't take offense at every insult. Live with humility, and then you'll have a defense on Yom HaDin. And that's what we say, Zohar Ovid Malkin, Zohar, remember, Ki Ofer Anachnu. You want the punishment to look as offer, you have to act as offer. And when Ephraim Waxman finished speaking, a man came over to him. And this man who approached him was somebody who didn't get along with anybody. He's always fighting for his perceived rights. So he asked Rabbi Waxman, where can I find this Chasam Sofer? And Rabbi Waxman said he felt so good. Finally, the man got the message he wanted to get across to him. Until the man said, I know a few people who need to see this Chasam Sofer. All year long, we're busy analyzing other people. Rosh Hashanah is not a time to look out the window at others. It's time to look in the mirror at ourselves. As it says in Parshas Re'eh, Re'eh Onoichi. See Onoichi, the eye. Look at yourself. Rabbi Waxman was holding up a mirror to this man, yet the man twisted the reflection to suit himself. Manoach and his wife were arguing. They didn't have children. Whose fault is it? There's no who fault? The Medrash tells they're arguing. Whose fault is there's no children? And the Malach comes to Shimshon's mother and tells her, you're going to have a child, you're going to have a Shimshon, a Nozim. But he tells her also, you're an Akara, and you're going to be blessed with a child. She comes back, she tells her husband Manoach what happened. She says, we're going to have a child, but she conveniently leaves out one part. She doesn't say that he said, I am an Akara. She didn't want to mention that she was wrong. People don't like to see that they did something, that they were wrong. On Rosh Hashanah, we lay the Akedah. But maybe it bothered you over the years. There's something very strange about laying the Akedah. Because we don't start at the Akedah. We add a few psukim beforehand. We lay about the story of Avimelech's servants stealing the wells from Avraham. It doesn't seem very connected to Rosh Hashanah at all. Not connected to the Akedah at all. It's to teach us a powerful lesson. Avraham rebukes Avimelech for stealing his wells. And what's Avimelech's response? Lo yadati mi osas dovezeh. I don't know who did this. I don't know about it. Vegamata lo yadati. It's your fault. You didn't tell me. Vegamanoich lishmati. I didn't hear about it at all. Excuse after excuse after excuse. I don't know. It's your fault. You didn't tell me. I never heard about it. This is a lesson for us what not to do in Rosh Hashanah. We need to accept our faults, take responsibility of our actions, and not try to justify them. Yirmiyahu Novi says, "Hinni nishpat oisach, I'm going to judge you al omrech lechatosi, on saying you didn't sin, refusing to accept your sins." And that's why every vidui we begin, "Shein onu azeifonim." We're not that chutzpedik. Ukshei oriyef and stiff neck. Loimel fnecha Hashem lekein lekavu saying to say to you, "Tzadikim anachnu v'loichatonu, avla anachnu v'aviseinu chatonu." We begin every vidui accepting, yes, we have what we need to repair. Moshe criticized Eloz and Yisomo for burning the korban instead of eating it when they were in him. And Moshe was mistaken. They were right to burn it. Chazal tell us, Moshe hoida, he admitted, v'loy boish. He wasn't embarrassed. Moshe wasn't embarrassed to admit a mistake. And Moshe serves as a role model for us. And Dovna Melech followed in his footsteps. When Nostanovi confronted him with his chet, with Bathsheba, he answered, Chotosi la Hashem. And then Nosnanovi said to him, since he accepted it, the Gam Hashem Hever Chatasecho. He was forgiven because he accepted it. David was the ultimate Mekabel. He was the king. He was powerful. It's difficult for a king to admit his mistakes. Nobody's going to correct him. And yet, David HaMelech admitted his mistake. And where did he get that strength from? He got it from his aide Yehuda. When Thomas said, I'm pregnant with the owner of these items, Yehuda was standing in front of Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Shem. He didn't hesitate. He said, Tzodkot mimeni. Imagine the embarrassment. And yet, he was willing to admit. On the other hand, when Adam was faced with his chet, his response was, it's not my fault. He justified it. You gave me that wife. And this foreigner comments, oh, if only he would have said like Chotosi, like his ankle David, he would have been forgiven. The Pasuk in Parashas Noze tells us, Bezois Toiras Anoze. This is the law of Noze. B'yoyim Elois Yemein Nizrei. When he finishes his Naziris, Yovi Oisoi, he brings it El Pesach Oel Moed. What is Yovi Oisoi? He brings it. Rashi tells us it means he brings himself El Pesach Oel Moed. So why is it written in such a strange way? Talking about himself, Yovi Oisoi. He could have said, Yovo, he comes, El Pesach El Moed. The Meshech Chacham explains, the purpose of Naziris is not to prevent a person from having an honor in this world. It's a refuah from Taiva, from Gaiva. And that is why the Torah doesn't say any Zman for Naziris. We learn out there's a minimum 30 days, but the Torah doesn't write a Zman. It all depends on the person himself. How much does he need? A person might need for a four to heal himself. He might need 30 days. He might need 60 days. He might need 100 days or even more. So to decide how long he needs, there's only one way the Nazir can do that. He needs introspection. He needs to examine himself. And this is difficult to do. A person has self-love. He has negias. So the person has to imagine he's looking at somebody else. He's seeing somebody else's faults. He's judging another person. How much would you think that person needs? And that way, he'll be able to make an impartial decision about himself. And that is why the Torah uses the Lashon Yovi Oisoi. He brings himself. He judges himself as an outsider and decides what the time of the Naziris will be. And then he brings himself to the Oel Moed. Rav Shlomo Zafrani, a Poisek Neretz Yisrael. He was once asked a shaila by a man, Reb Aaron. He said he took a taxi home from the Kaisel, and they set a price on, agreed upon price. When they arrived at his house, the driver told him a higher price. He said, we agreed on the price. He said, yeah, but I saw there was a lot of traffic. So I turned on the monnaie, I turned on the meter. So Zoran said, we made the price before. He says, yeah, but there was so much traffic, what should I do? He said, no, I don't have to pay you. He walks to his house. The driver follows him. He says, I'm not mochiv to pay you. Leave me alone. And the driver's insisting. He called the taxi company. And the taxi company said, no, you don't have to pay. The driver left. A little while later, Zaron realized that an item he had purchased from the store had fallen out the bag. He lost an item, and its value was the exact amount that the driver was asking from him. And this made him think maybe there was a message. Maybe he should have given that money to the driver, and he wouldn't have lost the item. Maybe he acted inappropriately with the driver. So he asked Rav Shlomo Zafrani, was I wrong? I mean, again, we agreed upon a price. The Rav said to him, there's many popular teachers. There's teachers called Morasora. There's Mora Rivka, Mora Esti. But the most popular teacher of all, you know what that is? Mora Heta. People tend to tilt the scales in their own favor. Rafrani said, Alpidin, of course you were correct. However, you're known as a Talmud Chacham. You're expected to act lefnim b'shor zedin. You have to make a Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara says, Rabba Baba Chana hired two workers to carry barrels of wine. They accidentally dropped it. The barrels broke. Rava took their coats to cover the loss. The workers went to Rav to complain. And Rav told Rava to return the coats. Rava asked, is that locha? Rav said with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Leman Telech v'derech toivim. You should walk in the ways of the good. So Rava returned the coats. The workers then argued that he'd be paid for their work, even though there was nothing to pay for now. And Rav told Rava to pay the wages. Again he questioned, Is this the halacha? He said to him, the end of that pasuk in Mishlei, Ba'urchas tzadikim tishmor, keep the paths of the righteous. And Rava paid again. From the Gemara, it sounds like that Rava was told to pay Midas Chasidus. The Gaon in Mishlei says, most people would not be required to pay. But Rava was a known tzaddik, a Talmid Chacham, and is obligated to pay. By halacha, it's halacha to act within the letter of the law, well, above the letter of the law. Rav Avrani then told Rav Aaron, I understand in these types of cases, it's difficult. There's money involved. You don't want to part with your money. No one wants to feel they were gypped at all either. So that's why the Chofetz Chaim kept a special Sholem account. You dip into cases like this. Having a Sholem fund takes away the negias at all. It's easier to pay. Rosh Hashanah is a day of introspection. To look at ourselves, as the Moshe Chochmah said, as an outsider, without personal gears. We have to have the strength to say, Chatozi, like Yehuda, like David, like Moshe Rabbeinu. May Hashem help us, this Rosh Hashanah, to look into the mirror, rather than out the window, to see ourselves clearly, without negias at all, to take ownership of our shortcomings, and to commit ourselves to growth and improvement, and in that Chosmeh Shemeh B'Zecha, to Shana Toivot Mesukah.